Okay. Does everyone have a Tanakh? Everyone has a Tanakh. Okay, excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Okay, just a little bit of background. Important background to know what's going on. Where is Megillas Rus happening in the time period of history? That's very important. It's going to impact the way that we understand the story as a klal. As the first pasuk in the Megillah describes, Vayhi bimei shefot hashoftim, Vayhi rav ba'aretz. So already we're starting to hear that this time period is during the time period of the shoftim. And what really, when speaking about the time period of the shoftim, we have to understand that the time period of the shoftim is one of the hardest time periods in Jewish history, because right after Sefer Yehoshua, we find Jews come into Eretz Yisrael and they're supposed to conquer all of this land, but they don't conquer all of the land, right? And what happens eventually is because they haven't conquered all the land, they've left all of these stranglers and little communities, and eventually, like the Torah says, if you don't get rid of them all at once, they're going to become bigger pains later on. And that's what Sefer Shoftim is all about. Sefer Shoftim is all about basically that Am Yisrael is involved in Avodah Zarah. Why are they involved in Avodah Zarah? Because they're marrying the people that they hadn't gotten rid of. So Sefer Shoftim basically has this up and down of Am Yisrael is in such a bad place. They're serving Avodah Zarah. Hashem sends a shofet to save Am Yisrael, and then they do tshuva, and then things get better. But then once again, there's like this downfall, and that's basically the pattern of Sefer Shoftim. So it's very interesting that Rus historically, when we're going to look at it, you could read it and not really understand what the connection between this story and the rest of Sefer Shoftim is, but hopefully towards the end of our learning, maybe we'll try to show a little bit of contrast between this Sefer and Sefer Shoftim, but that's the general background that we need to know. What exact time does it happen? There's a machlokas in the Gemara about which exact shofet does it happen in. And once again, I don't think that question is so important to understanding the tochen of the Megillah, but just so you guys should know, some say that it was Itzban, someone said that it was later, Barak, and Ehud possibly. We're going to see how that's going to affect us understanding. So just one more point of introduction, and then we'll get started, is the question of why are we reading this Megillah on Shavuos. So every Megillah really has a tochen which is very clear. By Tisha B'Av, we read Megillas Eicha. That's very clear. Shir HaShirim, by Pesach, we read because of the love story between Am Yisrael. But what is Shavuos? Right? What happens in this Megillah that has any connection to Matan Torah? Right? So the Rishonim, the Gemara and the Rishonim try to offer a number of different possibilities as to what it is, what is the reason. And I think that even though that we're going to find that there's a lot of different reasons, I think when we ask ourselves what the reason is going to be very important in understanding what is the Sefer coming to do. Right? Why was it written down, and why is it that we're reading it right now? So we're going to speak about three possible different things, different possibilities, and then we'll get started with the Sefer. The first possibility that's brought is just seasonal, right? As we're going to see, the time period in which Megillas Rus happens is during the Ktzir Chitim, is during the harvest. The time period of harvest, and so is Shavuos. So just seasonal, the themes fit that as we're speaking about Chag HaShavuos, which is also the festival of harvesting, so Megillas Rus also happens during the harvesting time. That's the first possibility that's given. Another possibility which is given is that it really has to do with the process of Giyur, right? We know that Rus, as we're going to see, goes through a process of conversion. And Kivyachol, Am Yisrael, when they come out of Mitzrayim, they also have to go through this process of conversion until eventually they get to Matan Torah, right? Chazal described that they had to have Bris Milah, and they needed to go to the mikveh and so on and so forth. So once again, the theme of Matan Torah is Giyur, becoming a Jewish nation. So too, Rus goes through her own process of Giyur. That's the second possibility. A third possibility, and once again, we'll just stop with this one. But the third possibility is one which the Gemara already mentions, And that's the one that we're really going to speak about throughout today. The Gemara suggests that the Torah is kulo chesed. The Torah is filled with kindness. And so too, the entire story is filled with kindness. Rut kulo chesed, va'atorah kulo chesed. And therefore, thematically, we're going to speak about chesed on the day of chesed. If Matan Torah is all about chesed, then Megillas Rus is all about chesed. So we're going to read, just like we read any haftorah, in the parsha. So too, we're going to read this story in remembering what this chesed was. So I want you guys on your own throughout our learning to sort of dot down to yourself, even jot down on a piece of paper, how many acts of chesed are done throughout the story? Are they all acts of chesed? Are there netiyos of people interest on their own? And why it is that Chazal call this story a total story of chesed, and why the Torah is called a story of chesed. So without further ado, let's get started after all of those important introductions. Vayhi bimei shefot ha-shoftim. So during this time period of the shoftim, vayhi ra'av ba'aretz. So we hear about this famine. Now a famine was something that happened a lot, especially throughout the shoftim's time period. Why did a famine happen? Famine usually is connected to, like we read in Kriyat Shema, when Am Yisrael is not doing Ratzon Hashem, so there's no rain. If there's no rain, there's no food. There's no agriculture. So there's a Rav. Vayelech ish mi beis lechem Yehuda. We hear about this person from Yehuda, this family, Lagur b'Sdei Moav. So they're going to live in, right, on the, to the east of the Jordan, where Moab used to be. Huvi ishto ushnei vanav. He goes with his wife Naomi and his two children. V'shem ha'ish Elimelech, and we hear about his name. His name is Elimelech. V'shem ishto Naomi. V'shem shnei vanav Machlon v'Kilyam. So now it's very interesting. First of all, the two sons have very interesting names. Machlon and Kilyon both have to do with sickness and destruction. So was this their real name, or was this the way that the Tanakh is calling them? But Elimelech, Chazal tell us, Elimelech was this very, very rich person. And he decides that, once again, as we know, during the Shoftim time period, what happens is that every Shevet has an area, right? It's not like today where Jews live all over the place. Every Shevet had an area. And therefore, what happened is, if you were the rich person and there were hard times, so everyone came to you. So Chazal described that Elimelech is this rich person, and let's continue in the pasuk and let's see. Ephrasim yibeis lechem Yehuda v'yavos stei Moav v'yuhusham. So they leave Eretz Yisrael and they're going to Moav. Now, what is motivating them to go to Moav? What's motivating them to go to Moav is two things. Once again, if they're the source of the Parnassah, they want to hold on to their own Parnassah. They don't want to be giving chesed. You know, if every single day someone's knocking on our door, let's just go on a hiatus. We'll go on vacation until this all blows over. And that way we won't lose all of our money. That's the basic motivation. However, what we're going to see, and historically, this is very important, once again, framing it with the time of the Shoftim, is that Ammon and Moab, throughout most of the time period of the Shoftim, are constantly causing trouble for Am Yisrael. They're constantly Eglon. We know the famous stories with Ehud, with the sword. There's these kings, Moab and Ammon, that are constantly causing trouble for Am Yisrael. And they're essentially the enemies of Am Yisrael. So not only is Machlon and Kilion and Elimelech, are they running away from their responsibility to their own family and basically backstabbing their own brothers and sisters, but they're going to the enemy's territory, right? And why are they going to the enemy's territory? They're going to the enemy's territory because who's going to search for them there? Right, so we're starting to see already that the motivation of leaving Eretz Yisrael, first of all, a lot of the Mefarshim, a lot of the Rishonim explained that was their problem, it was that they were leaving Eretz Yisrael, but we see that it's more than that. It's not only leaving Eretz Yisrael, it's backstabbing, it's leaving our brothers and sisters behind, and we're going to see. Let's take a look. Vayamas Elimelech. So Elimelech passes away, ish nami v'tesheher hi ushnevanam. And Elimelech, almost, the Tanakh doesn't describe exactly when this happens, but he dies, it looks like, upon arrival. And obviously the Mefarshim point out that the reason that he died is because of this backstab, is because of him leaving his responsibility, leaving his brothers and sisters. But they continue to live there. This family continues to live there. Vayisu lahem nashim moavios. And it got worse, because originally the motivation to leave Eretz Yisrael was not one of religious purpose. It was one of, because we want to keep our money. But we're starting to see that one thing led to another, and now they're intermarried, right? They're married to these Moabites. And just once again, contextually, it's so difficult. You're marrying the people who are destroying your country, right? Vayisu lahen nashim moavio shem achas orpa v'shem hashenis rus. So these two women, vayishvu sham ke'eser shanim. Now they're living there already 10 years. So after arrival, they're there for 10 years. Vayamusu gam shnehem machlon v'kilyon. Now machlon and kilyon die also. Now what I would have expected is that if machlon and kilyon married these women and their death is a punishment of them marrying these women, so why did it take 10 years? What happened in those 10 years? It doesn't look like it's a product, their death is a product, but that's how most of the Rishonim understand, is that there's leaving Eretz Yisrael, then there's leaving your brothers and leaving your responsibility behind. Now I'm totally leaving the religion, so they're not getting the point. Elimelech passes away, time goes by, and they just continue on this path towards Nowheresville, in the opposite direction of what Hashem wants, and therefore they also pass away. And now Naomi is left with these two non-Jewish women, and basically with no family, right? Until now, she's had reason to stay. But we're going to see that she's going to hear something. There's the tides are changing, and things are changing in Eretz Yisrael. Vatakam hi v'kalosea, Vatashav mistei Moav, they're still staying in Moav. Kishama bistei Moav, ki pakad Adonai esamol laseis lahem lechem. Right, what does she hear? She hears that the famine is over, and because the famine is over, it's time to go back. So there's two ways of understanding her motivation here. On a simple level, it seems that she's, on one hand, the pasuk says ki pakad Hashem es amo, that she hears that Hashem, right, redeemed Am Yisrael, right? That sounds like the shoftim are coming back and things are looking better religiously, and she's inspired religiously to return. On the other hand, in the pshat of the pesukim, it sounds like that she's going back because there's food there, right? Her husband is no longer there. Her two sons who are bringing Parnassa are no longer there. So why is she going back? Is she going back because she has no food and she has nothing better to do in Moab, because she's now regretting the decisions that her family made? Or is it because she's sincerely inspired by what's going on? We're going to see, I believe that the Megillah is going to describe and try to really show what her motivation is. But at this point, it's not so clear why she wants to go back. Okay? So these two women join Naomi back on her route to Eretz Yisrael. Vatomer Naomi l'shtei kalosel lechna shovna. Right, Naomi says back to her two daughters-in-law, "Go home, isha leveis ima, go back home." Yas Adonai Machem Chesed Kasher Asisim Imamesim Vimadi, and Hashem should do a big Chesed for what you've done for me, even though that my children passed away, you're sort of bringing me back to Eretz Yisrael. I appreciate it, but you should go home. Yitein Adonai Lachem Umtzaena Minucha. Go home and start a new life. You guys are still young. You Isha Leves Ves Isha Vatishak Lahem Vatisane Kolana Vativkana. And there's this whole dramatic scene of Naomi wanting to be once again, I think the motivation here could be questioned, just like we question her motivation of returning to Eretz Yisrael. Why doesn't she want them? Is it because that she knows that going back to Eretz Yisrael with these two Moabite women isn't going to look so good? Or is she really interested in their best interest, right? And you can see both of these motivations in the Pesukim. Right, v'tomer na la ki itach nashuv la'amech. But they say, no, we want to go back with you, We want to go back with what's motivating them to want to stay with her. Vatomer Noami, Shovna Benosai, she says, she insists, please go home. Lama Tilchanayimi, Ha'od Livanim B'me'ai V'yu Lachem La'anashim, do I have any more children that you could get married to? Meaning, what is she saying? She's saying, you're two young women. Go back home. You have nothing to search for in Eretz Yisrael. You don't have anything to do. I don't have anything to give to you. I can't give you parnasa. I can't give you anything. That's why I'm going home. Right? So go. And once again, the motivation is, could be that she really loves them and she wants the best for them. And the best is not going to be in Eretz Yisrael. The best is going to be back home. Right? Chazal actually point out that Orpah was actually a princess. And a princess, one of the princesses of Moab, and what Naomi is saying is, like, you have everything that you want here, so just go home. However, once again, they try to insist. Shovno b'nosai lichna ki zakanti mios le'ish ki amarti yesh li tikva gam ha'isi alayla le'ish v'gam yelarti banim. She continues to insist that they go home, even if I have children today, and they grow up. And you want to marry that? It's going to be so late. You're going to lose all of these years. Halahen tishaberna. Are you going to wait around for these? Adasher yigdilu halahen ta'an genelav iltia yos le'ish. Are you going to keep yourself from having a married life, from having a normal life, just to insist on staying with me? I appreciate it, but go home, right? Al benosai ki marli ma'od mikem ki yatza bi yad Adonai. Now, this is the first time that Naomi is introducing Hashem into this story. And we're starting to see that Naomi is actually understanding that this entire thing is happening. Her entire life, everything that she's gone through so far, has all happened because of the mistakes of herself, of her family. And she says, I feel so bad that you guys have almost become collateral damage in this entire story. Go home, have a very good life. You don't have to continue with me. Vatisena kolna vativkena od, and they continue crying. This is, listen, you know, at the end of the day, they spent a lot of time together. It's interesting. The Malbim actually points this out. I was laughing when I saw the Malbim. The Malbim like asked like a very simple question. He says, like, which daughter-in-law likes their mother-in-law? Meaning, like, that doesn't exist, right? Well, when you get married, you'll realize that the relationship with your in-laws is very complex. So what's going on here? So I think the simple insight is that Naomi was a very strong personality and she had a really strong impact on them, a very strong impact on them. And therefore, it's not so easy for them just to leave. Right. Also, the motivation is possibly they really feel like that they've spent their life with her. You know, the last 10 years, and they don't know anything else. So let's go and try to start something new. So they're crying. So what does Orpah do? Orpah kisses her. Right. So we're starting to see already there's a difference in the relationship between Rus and Orpah. Orpah kisses her, and Rus just holds on. Rus holds on. Vatomer hine shava yivim tech el amavim vel Eloha shuvi achari yivim tech. Right? What does Naomi say? Naomi says, listen, Rus, I love you, and you know I appreciate all of your chesed and everything that you've done for me, but just go home. Right? Follow Orpah. Orpah kissed me and went home. It's almost like one of those scenes where, like, I don't know, I always think about this as, like, you know, like the dog and, like, the owner is, like, pushing him away. He's like, I love you so much, but, like, you have to go. And, like, this is sort of what's going on, is she wants the best for them. Right? So go back to your God, go back to your nation. Vatomer Rus, now this is where Rus becomes the Ima Shel Malchus. This is where she shows her true colors. In these famous sentences, what does she say? Vatomer Rus, Al tifgi ibi lo azvech lashuv me'acharayich. Don't insist that I leave you. Ki el asher tilchi eleich. Wherever place you will go, I will go. Uvasher talini alin. Wherever you will sleep, I will sleep. Amech ami ve'elohayich elohai. Your nation is my nation. Your God is my God. And Chazal understand that over here she's being mekabel ol malchus shamayim. She's being mekabel ol mitzvos. Right? There's a number of things over here. Not only your culture am I accepting. Not only your nation am I accepting. But I'm also accepting your God. So that's just only pushing us forward and showing us how big of an impact Naomi really had on these women. And even if they weren't makbid on all of the mitzvos, it's clear that she had some sort of derech eretz, some sort of menschlichkeit that they saw that was unbelievable in Naomi. Kasher tamusi amus, and obviously the famous line that we all hear so often is, wherever you die, I will die. Visham ekaver, right? May death do us part, as many people say at goyish weddings. Ko yaseh Adonai li v'chol yosif ki amavis yafrid b'ni uveinich. Beautiful. Beautiful. She shows that she's committed to Naomi. Vatera ki misametzes hila chesita. And Naomi says, okay, listen, you know what? She's obviously not going anywhere. Vatechdal daverla. And therefore she continues on her way and they walk together. Vatil chanash dehem ad bona beis lechem. And then eventually they come to beis lechem. Vayihi kivona beis lechem. Now, let me ask you the question before we see it inside. If you were the people of beis lechem, right, and you knew exactly who Elimelech was and who the family was, what does it look like when she comes back? What does it look like? Are they going to have a party saying, welcome back, or no? It's going to look really bad. People are not going to be very happy with her, right? And she's coming back, and this is going to be a very, very difficult thing for her. So even though that we tried to suggest in the beginning that the motivation was that she has nowhere else to go, and that it's just she just wants to go back for food, she could have found other places to find food. She could have found other things. There's obviously a clear motivation, a religious motivation, to go back to Eretz Yisrael, because she wouldn't put herself through all of the torture, which we're going to see, of being a poor person in a place and going through all of this torture from her community. So let's see what the people of Beis Lechem see. Right, they come to Beis Lechem. Vatehom kol ha'ir. The entire city is in shock. What are they in shock of? Right, vatehom kol ha'ir alehem v'tomar hazos Naomi. Is that Naomi? What are they asking? Right, this question is filled with so many questions. Is first of all, where's Elimelech, and where's these two sons that we've heard, her two sons, right? Not only that, but she probably looks like a poor woman. Like, what happened to you? Where are you? Right, there's so many mixed emotions. On one hand, we know that they were so helpful while they were there. There were these Gedolim, Elimelech and Naomi. They were probably the big tzedakah givers. So there's a lot of mixed emotions here. Vatehom kol ha'ir, there's this mixed emotions. Vatomer alehen al tikra'ena li Naomi. So Naomi says back to the people of the city, probably in the Merkaz ha'ir, she says, Al tikra'ena li Naomi. Don't call me by my name, Naomi. Kareni li mara. Call me bitter. Ki heimar shadai li me'od, because Hashem made my life very bitter. Ani m'le'ah halachti v'reikam heshivani Adonai. I went, and I was filled with riches and gold and so on and so forth, and I've come back empty. Lama tikrena li Naomi v'Adonai anabi v'shadai heirali. So clearly over here, Naomi is starting to understand, or we're starting to see the process of tshuva of Naomi. She's obviously realized that what has happened and what is going to be is, and this is a very, for Naomi, this isn't pashut emotionally. Coming back and seeing the places that she was so familiar with, and probably seeing familiar faces, and now everything's different, right? Everyone looks at her differently, right? And therefore she says, don't call me that, call me Mara, right? Because she's really accepting upon the derech, the hashgacha, whichever Hashem brought her to. Vatasha Naomi v'rus ha-mo'avya kalasayima. And just one last point is that she's here with this non-Jewish woman. And she's here with this non-Jewish, and it's clear that she's this non-Jewish woman. Even if she did gerus, it wasn't such a common thing back then that you'd have gerim from Moav. It's not so pashut, right? Once again, there's backstabbing, right? Teshano mei v'rosa ma'aviyah kol asayimah hashav misdei Moav v'hema bo beis lechem b'tchilas k'tzir sorim. So they come back. It's very interesting, and I haven't seen anyone write about this, but they don't describe, the Tanakh doesn't describe where they come back to. Do you think that they went back to their palace, wherever they were living before? It doesn't say in the Tanakh, and it's very interesting as to why it does, why it doesn't, right? Maybe on a simple level, it doesn't explain where they go back to, because Maybe they're just not going back to anything, right? Maybe they're homeless. Maybe they're living on the streets. Okay. Ad kan, are there any questions about the narrative? We're good. Okay. Let's start moving. Ula Naomi moda liisha ish gibor chayil mimishpachas Elimelech ushmo Boaz. Now, two short introductions to this parak and to the prakim going forward. There's this concept which is called yibum. And yibum in the Torah, the classic case of yibum is when someone passes away, someone who's married passes away, and they have no children. And therefore the Torah says to the brother or to the closest relative of the person who passed away that they should marry the wife and they should have children, and therefore the name will continue on. The namesake will continue on. But understanding that in the context, once again, of the Shvatim is very important. As we saw in the Torah, the concept of Yerusha and the different fields, right, these things have more meaning than just the namesake. The namesake, there's something behind the namesake. The field has value. The geography has value. My farms and my different areas. If it leaves me and it leaves the shevet, that's not so simple. We see in the Torah. So yibum is not only giving the namesake of the child, but it's of the husband who passed away. But it's also the family's fields, and that's the context that we need to understand going forward. Why doesn't Naomi ask for help, right? We're going to see that she has this relative, right? Elimelech has this relative, right? Who's this relative? Boaz. Boaz is the Rosh of the Sanhedrin. He's according to many, one of the Shoftim, right? And he's this very powerful person, and he is a relative. He's first cousins with Elimelech, right? So why doesn't she ask for help? I think it's Pasha why she doesn't ask for help. She can't ask for help. She can't bring herself to ask for help. Elimelech has all the money in the world, but she can't bring herself to be the one who's asking. When you come from a place of giving, then to go and ask from someone else is so difficult, right? But the Tanakh is telling us that we're setting something up. There is this other person. Vatomer Rus HaMoavial Naomi Elchana Asadev Alaktabishi Bolim Achar Asher Intzabeinav Vatomer Lo Lechi Viti. Rus, once again, it's very interesting. Rus is really running the show a little bit. Naomi is very passive, and we're going to see that she continues to be passive. Rus says, listen, we don't have anything to eat, so what are we going to do? So Rus knows, I guess she was told by Naomi, of this concept of Matnos Aniyim. And Matnos Aniyim, as we know, that this time is the harvest period. So Matnos Aniyim, we have different types of Matnos Aniyim, Peah, Shechecha, things that we have to leave behind for the Aniyim. So Rus says, let me go out and let me collect Matnos Aniyim, right? I'm a Yisom, I'm an Almana, and I'm an Aniyah, and you're an Almana, so let me go out. It's very interesting. Once again, Naomi doesn't go out. Why doesn't she go out? She can't go out. How embarrassing is that? She can't bring herself to that. And Rus knows that. Rus knows that, and therefore she volunteers. She says, I'll do it. I'll go ahead and go around knocking on door to door, making sure that I can go and find a field. So she goes out to the field. Vatilech vatavo vatilakit basadeh acher hakotzim. Vayikar mikre chelkat asadeh levoaz asher mishpachat Elimelech. So she's walking around and she finds this field. And just by chance, the Tanakh says, vayikar mikre. And it just happened. There's only one other place in Tanakh that thing is mentioned. Does anyone know where it is? Vayikar Mikre. Does anyone remember? By Eved Avram, Eliezer, and Rivka, right? That he comes to the well, and the Tanakh just happens to happen. I was davening, and just out of nowhere, right? Just by a coincidence, Rivka was there. So that's going to be an interesting point. We're not going to discuss it, but it's definitely interesting just to point out that lashon of vayikar mikra. Obviously, from Rus's perspective, she doesn't know who Boaz is really, and for her, it's just a coincidence that I ended up in Boaz's field. Vinei Boaz ba mi beis lechem, Boaz is coming from Beis Lechem out to the fields, because the fields aren't in Beis Lechem themselves, they're on the outskirts of the city. V'nei Boaz ba mi Beis Lechem, v'yomer lakotzrim, Adonai yimachem, he says, Shalom Aleichem, how are you guys doing? V'yomer lo yivarechecha Adonai. That's how they used to greet each other. Shalom Aleichem, but with God's name. Now, I want to ask you guys a question. What is Boaz, this rich owner of all these fields, what is he doing in the field? What is he doing? Right? Doesn't he have better things to do? Isn't he the Rosh of the Sanhedrin? I think over here is also a very important nakuda, is that Boaz really cares about what's going on in his fields. Because Matnos Aniyam are really important to make sure that your workers are enforcing the halachos properly. That shows that Boaz was a gavra rabba. He was a serious person, and he was sensitive to those nekudas. So he comes out to the field. This shofet, this person gets down, comes out to the field. So Boaz sees this lady walking around, this young woman walking around, and he says, "Who does she belong to? Like, who is this woman?" It's interesting to point out, once again, why doesn't he know? Doesn't the entire city know? Maybe he wasn't there. Not sure. Vayan hanar hanitzav al hakotzrim vayomer na'ara Moav yahi. Hashava im Naomi misdei Moav. So the guy says, this is a Moavite woman, and this is the girl that came back with Naomi. Okay? Well, he calls her a Moavite. It doesn't sound like he likes her too much. Right, it's just like this girl. She's not really supposed to be here. I'm not really sure what she's doing here. Vatomer alaktana vasafti boomarim. Now I want you to pay attention to the midos here. Right, he says the worker says that I'm gonna go and get the omarim. The omarim are the stacks of wheat that are already stacked and piled up. The aniyim don't take from that area. So what is this servant saying? What is this worker saying? He's saying she's not doing what she's supposed to be doing. She's taking from the stack pile. What she's supposed to take from is the peya and the shikha, the things that are left over. Right? She's been here all day, and that's what she's been doing. Vayomer Boaz el Rus. So Boaz approaches Rus and he says, "Halo shamat biti." He has a different approach to Rus. He says, "My daughter," he relates to her in a really sensitive way. He says, Don't feel like you need to go to any other field. Right? Stay with the other women here, stay with my workers, and you could work here and you'll have food. I'll make sure that my workers don't bother you. Mashma, that he understands that the workers are bothering her and the workers aren't being honest about what she's doing. She's not taking from the Omarim. She's taking what she's supposed to be taking. And go and eat and drink. Real sensitivity. And she falls on her feet and she says, like, who am I? Like, who are you that you're acting so nicely to me? I'm this Nebuch, like Moabite woman. What have I done to deserve this? Right? Vayan Boaz, a Boaz says back to her, Vayomer la, hugad li, kol asher asis es chamoseich. I know exactly who you are. And I know what you've done for your mother-in-law, Achri Mosi Sheikh, after your husband. So he really knows what's going on, right? V'tazvi avich ve'imech, and you've left your family, ve'eretz molatech, and you left your the place that you come from, right? It reminds us of lech lecha me'artzecha u'malatecha u'mibes avicha el ha'artz asher areka, right? Rus, very similarly to Avraham, leaves everything that she knew. But tilchil ama asher liadat mol shelshom, and you went to this nation. And so Boaz knows what's going on, and he says, the reason I'm being so sensitive to you is because I know all of the chesed that you've done. Yishalem Adonai po'alecha u'tihim askuratech shlema me'im Adonai Elohei Yisrael asher bat lachsot tachat knafav. So he says, Mamish, it's beautiful what you're doing, and it's beautiful what you've done, and it's beautiful what you're going to do. And Hashem should give you a lot of bracha, so don't worry, you don't have to go to any... Now, to us, it seems like so insignificant. Oh, so he let her continue picking from the shichicha and the peah of the field. That's not so significant. But it's so significant. It's so important because imagine going from field to field, and the aniyim aren't necessarily the workers are trying to kick them out. So it's like a nebuch. I'm moving from field to field. So being able to stay in one field is very important. Okay, I'm talking a lot, so I'm just going to make a bracha real quick. L'chaim. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, shehakol ni'ah bidvaro. Okay. V'tomer emtzachim be'inecha Adonai ki nechamtanim v'chi dibarta olim shivchatecha. She thanks him. She said, you've spoken such nice words to me. V'anochi lo yeh ke'echad shivchatecha. Don't worry, I'm going to be special. I'll stay under the radar and I'll just do my thing. You don't have to worry about me. Vayomer la Boaz leisa ochel. Lunchtime comes around. What does lunchtime mean? Lunchtime usually means the Mexicans go off to eat their sandwiches and the people who really have the food. So they go into the cafeteria and they got their things. And he says, come inside. Right? Leisa ochel gishi halom v'achalt min alechem v'taval pitech bechomet v'tishav mitzad ha'kotzrim v'itztabik la kali v'tochal v'tispa v'totar. Right? He's inviting her in to be one of the workers, to eat just like me and you are eating. Now, the sensitivity here, I think we need to really just pay attention to how sensitive Boaz is being to this person, right? When we speak about, when the Torah speaks about, right, how strongly sensitive we need to be to the ger and to the acher, this is exactly what Boaz is doing. He's being very sensitive, and he realizes what a tzaddikus rus really is. Let's continue. V'atakam l'akeid v'yitzav Boaz esnar rav lemor gam bin ha'omarim. So what does he say now? He says to the workers, let rus take from the omarim. Right? The aniyim don't take from the omarim. They don't take from the stack stuff, but she can take from the stack stuff. Right, from till techlimuha. Right, don't push her away because she has permission. She has special permission from me. Vigam shel tashulula min atzvatim vaazavtim v'litav lo tigaruba liver alone. Vatilaket basadeh adher v'tachbod es asher liketa vi keifa seorim. She walks away at the end of the day with an eifa of seorim. What's an eifa of seorim? An eifa is a midah, and in modern day measurements, it's 25 kilos. That's 60 pounds of wheat. That's a whole lot of wheat. That's gonna feed Naomi and Ruth for a very, very long time. Right? So she comes home and she's holding probably in different backpacks, and I don't know how she brought it all, right? And Naomi sees what she has. And she also has this food that she had from the calf. Where'd you get this from? She says. Whoever gave it to you should be blessed. So she says, this is Boaz. Now imagine what Naomi's feeling. Naomi's probably feeling a lot of mixed things, a lot of mixed emotions. Man, I really should have asked Boaz. Man, but look what Hashem is doing for me. Look what Hashem is doing for us. Look at the Hashgacha Pratis, exactly what everything is sort of, working out exactly how things I planned them. V'tomer Naomi lekalasa baruchu l'Adonai asher lo azav chasdo. Right? Thank God that Boaz didn't forget me. Right? So Naomi says, you don't understand that this Boaz isn't Stam just another very kind person. This is, right, this he's family, he's mishpacha. Vatomer Rusa Moavia. Gam ki amar elayim anayarim asher li tidbakim ara in kilu es kol hakatzir asher li. Right? Ruth says to Naomi, he told me I can come back until the end of the season. So this is pretty good. Vatomer Naomi or Ruth Kalasa, Tov biti kitetzei narosa v'lodiv gubach basadeh acher. So it's a good idea. Continue staying there. Continue getting food there, and that's great. ותדבק בין הראש בועז להקל על קלוס קציר השעורים וקציר החיטים ותשב אס חמוסה. So until now, the story hasn't developed too much. What has happened till now, if we can just sort of see where we're at, is that she comes back, and there is a lot of chesed being done for her, but really they're sort of still in the same situation. And that same situation is that they probably don't have much, right? We don't hear about their home, and there's no name for her. There's no same namesake for Rus, for Naomi. And Naomi really has had this plan the entire time, and this is where we get to the flesh of the Megillah. Vatomer lo Naomi chamosa biti halo avakesh lach manoach asher itav lach. I have an amazing idea. Vatam halo Boaz muda tanu asher hayises narosav hinehu zores gorn hasorim halayla. I have this amazing idea. Okay, Boaz is one of the Krovim. Right, she believes the closest karov to Machlon and Kilion and to Elimelech, and Boaz is having a party tonight at the end of the harvest. They would always have these big parties, parties, blessing Hashem and so on and so forth. So she says, I have the following idea: Virachat v'sacht v'sant simlosayich. So get all dressed up, put perfume on, put on your nicest dress. Ve'arat ha'goren, and go down to the farm. Al tivadi le'ish, don't make sure that no one sees you. Ad kaloso le'echol ve'lishdos. So don't go to the party. Just go straight into the farm. Go straight into the barn and make sure that no one sees you. But you're gonna get all dressed up. Vahi b'shachvo, and when Boaz is going to sleep in the barn, because I guess that's what they did after these events. So you'll find out where he's sleeping. You'll find him. And you will reveal his legs. Let's translate it like that for now. Reveal his legs. And you'll sleep by him. And he'll decide whatever you're going to do. Right? What's clear over here? What is Naomi's kavana over here? Naomi's kavana is Ruth is a young woman still, and Boaz is a very capable person. So what Ruth should do is she should push Boaz to understand that there's this chiyuv of yibum, and she should make herself look pretty. She should make herself look beautiful. And we're going to see that the plan is even more complex than that, right? Vaterad ha-goren, so she goes ahead, right? Sorry, I skipped a pasuk. Vatomer alea kol asher tomri esa, elai esa. Whatever you do, whatever you told me to do, I'll do it. Total bittel, once again, from Rus's perspective, to go and be with this, and we know Boaz is like an older person, right? He's an older guy, but she's willing to do this because she realizes that this is Me'is Hashem. So she goes down and she does exactly what Naomi told. So not only does Boaz go and eat and drink, he comes back and he's a little bit drunk, right? And she takes advantage of that, right? Boaz sort of passes out in the barn, and she comes and she reveals once again Margalosav. So the Rishonim try to understand what is Margalosav, right? Let's just be very honest to the text. Everything over here is overly sexual, right? It's very clear that what she's trying to do is seduce him, right? And through this seduction process, there's going to be Yibum, and there's going to be a Geula of the Sada and the namesake and so on and so forth. However, the Psukim on one hand seem so sexual, but they're also just missing very key words, right? Vategal Margalosav. What is that? What is that Margalosav? So many of the Rishonim, I would actually say 99% of the Rishonim understand that they actually didn't have relations. And what Margalosav means is his feet, right? And why would she be uncovering his feet? If anyone knows any of the halachos of Yibum, so when Yibum is not being performed, what happens? There's chalitza. And chalitza is when I take off my shoe, when I take off the shoe, and I say, I don't want to do Yibum, and now you're free to go and marry whoever you want, and my chiyuv is gone. Right? So on a simple level, what she's doing is she is beautifying herself and she is making herself look attractive and so on and so forth, but she's not going to seduce him right away. Right? She's going to give him the option of not doing it. Right? So she uncovers his leg. So he wakes up in the middle of the night and he sees that she's just lying here. Like this nice girl is just lying here right next to me and my feet are uncovered. It's really very uncomfortable. Vayomer mi'at, and obviously he can't see. Vatomer anuchi rut amatech ufaras knafecha ala amatecha ki go'el ata. So she's very clear. She says, right, take me under your wings, kivyachol. Right? What she's saying is marry me and keep the namesake of my family because you're the go'el. Vayomer brucha at ladunai biti, heitavt chazdecha acharon min harishon. Look, you're so blessed. Right? Boaz doesn't see this as a sexual endeavor, right? He sees that what she's doing is essentially looking out for the namesake of her mother-in-law and for her deceased husband. And he says, kivyachol, all of the chesed that you've done is so minute in contrast to what you've done until now. Right, in contrast to what this is, you could have gone and married anyone. Essentially, you could have gone and married someone else from Yehuda, maybe someone younger. I'm like this old fart. Like, what do you want with me? Right. Right. So that's the famous quote that Rus is called this Eishes Chayil. Now, Boaz is clearly in on this story and he's interested in doing this and the chesed is beautiful and so on and so forth. The question that I think is very important for us to ask ourselves is why does it have to happen this way? Meaning like if Boaz was interested, so why have this entire story of backwards and like this whole sexual scheme? Right. And I think it reminds us essentially of two other stories throughout the Tanakh. And what are those two stories? Obviously, the first story is the story of Lot and his two daughters. Right. Lot and his two daughters, who essentially is the great, 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 great grandfather and grandmother of Rus. Right. So Lot and his two daughters, their kavana is the Shem Shemayim also. But it happens in such a weird way that they have to seduce their father and they have to make him drink, right? But the Totza'ah eventually, as we're going to see, is David HaMelech. The same thing is on the other side. Who's Boaz, great-great-great-great-grandfather and grandmother? Right, Yehuda and Tamar. The same story happened by Yehuda and Tamar. All this sexual sort of this weird way of attaining something which could have been done maybe just through asking. But I think the basic way of understanding this is that Malchus, kingship, and there's a lot of different mahalchim, and we spoke about this in Torah Eretz Yisrael, the concept of Mashiach coming in very different ways, but we're not going to speak about that now. But this is definitely one of those nekudas that is very important to this point. But I think Malchus has an aspect of otzma and gvura, right? David HaMelech and a Jewish king needs to be able to stand up and make decisions that don't look so simple all of the time, right? And if we look at all of these people, do you think Lot would have slept with his two daughters? No. Do you think Yehuda would have slept with Tamar? Probably not. Do you think Boaz would have slept with Rus? Probably not. Right? Why? Because all of these situations are odd, you know. But all of the people involved in the story, Rus, right? Rus and Tamar, the Midrashim go into unbelievable descriptions of of that their kavana was to create Mashiach, to create this Malchus. So they had this unbelievable foresight, understanding that if I don't do this, then it's not going to get done. And maybe it has to happen in a sexual manner, is because, listen, honestly, we're all humans. And in order to have a relationship, there is that sexual tension and there is that side, right? And maybe there was this need for an extra motivation, right? Maybe Boaz was just an older person and wasn't really interested in being married to this young woman. And maybe he needed another push. And the same thing with Yehuda and the same thing with Lot. And their kavana was l'shem shamayim. So even though, and Chazal explained obviously that they didn't have relations that night, right? They didn't have relations that night. Let's just finish up over here. I'm seeing that we have 6 minutes left. I said less than an hour. Okay, we might go another five after that. Is that okay? Okay, seder. Vata, however, Boaz says, Ki omnam, ki im goel anochi v'gam yish goel karov mimeni. I want to do this right. I appreciate the chesed that you've done, and I appreciate and I want to be part of this, but we're going to have to do this the kosher way. I think, says Boaz, there's a karov, a closer karov than me, right? I'm a first cousin, but there's still an uncle which is alive, an uncle of Elimelech, right? And therefore, he has the kedimus, he has precedence. So he's going to have to decide whether he's going to marry you or not. Right, Lini halayla, come and sleep over here. Vaya baboker im galich tov, yigal vim lo yachpot zgalich galtich. Anochi chay alenoy shichvi ara boker. Come sleep here. Wake up in the morning and we'll take care of this. Vatishkav margalosav ara boker. Once again, this weird lashon of why do they have to sleep together that night? They're not sleeping together, but they're sleeping next to each other. Vatakam b'terem yakir ishes re'eu. Once again, this weird lashon of like, she's getting up and like, lahavdil elef havdolos. But like, you know, in the movies and in all like there's like this concept of like, you know, like the girl gets up and like she, you know, she runs away before anyone could see anything. Right, it's like the walk of shame, right? So that's what it sounds like here, right? Beteren yakir es ishes reyu. She gets up like before anyone can see anything. Vayomer al yivadei ki ba isha agoren, because she doesn't want anyone to know what was going on, what this promiscuous act is going on. Vayomer havia mitpachad asher alayech v'chzibach v'tochaz ba v'yamad sheish seorim v'yashd alea v'yavo a'ir. So he gives her like another great portion of food. So she comes back and she tells Naomi the entire story. Right, and he gave me this food. Don't worry, Naomi says that he's going to take care of this. And we wake up in the morning, and the next morning, Boaz Allah Hashar, Vayeshev Sham, Vihineha Goel Over, Asher, Diber Boaz, Vayomer Sura Shva Poloni Almoni, Vayasar Vayeshev. So he sees this other uncle, and the Tanakh calls this person Ploni Almoni. We're going to leave that to the end. Why is he called Ploni Almoni? But the Tanakh calls this guy Ploni Almoni. What is Ploni Almoni? John Doe, essentially. That's what it means. Ploni Almoni. He doesn't give him a name. Vayikach asara nashim mizikne ha'ir vayomer shvu po vayeshevu vayomer legol chalkas asadei asher la'achinu le'elimelech machara Naomi hashav misdei Moav. So he says, Naomi has this field. Right, we said that there's two parts of Yibum. There's the marriage part, and there's also the namesake of the field. So he says Naomi has this field. Ani amarti egalai az nachali mor kne neged hayoshim v'neged zikne ami intigal gal v'im lo yigal higidli v'ida ki enzel aschach ligol v'anochi acharecha v'yomer anochi egal. So what does he say? He says there's this beautiful field that needs to be, taken the namesake. So, do you want to take it or am I going to take it? So the guy says, okay, Pashara, I'll take it. I'll take the field, you know, like I'll buy the field. Because obviously it's great to buy this field, right? Vayomer Boaz, but Boaz says it's not so simple. Beyom kenoscha hasadeh miyad Naomi, the day that you buy the field from Naomi, umeis rus hamoavia ishes hames kanisa, lakim shem hames al nachlaso. It goes hand in hand. In order to get the field, you also need to be Mekayim the Shem HaMeiz. You have to take the namesake of the person. Vayomer HaGoel Lo Chali Goli Penash Chizas Nachlesi. The guy says, hold on, I didn't agree to marry this Moabite woman. Like I'm not gonna mess around with my yichus. My yichus is so good. I'm from Malchus Yehuda, but I'm from Yehuda. I don't need this Moabite woman, right? It's gonna destroy my yichus. Ga'alecha atayis gulasi kilo chali gol. So after realizing that, I guess it's not in his best interest. He decides that he's not going to be Goel. So this is where the Gemara obviously discusses the entire concept of how was Boaz allowed to marry Rus. Hari, the Torah says, right, about Moab and Ammon, that you're not allowed to marry Moab and Ammon. You're not allowed to be Mekabel Gerim from Moab and Ammon. So Chazal described that this Ma'amad in front of these 10 people is where they're going back and forth. And this guy says, oh, David HaMelech comes from Rus, and she's a Moabite, so Bichlal, he can't be king. The whole story with Shaul that we know a little bit later. And Boaz stands up, and he sticks the sword in the ground, and he says, the Pasuk says, Amoni u'Moavi, but not Amoni u'Moavit. Meaning that we're allowed to be Mekabel Gerim from Ammon and Moab, only women, but not men. Why? Only the women and not the men. Because the men did not come out and help Am Yisrael when they were coming into Eretz Yisrael. But the women, they weren't involved, and therefore were allowed to be Mekabel these gerim. Vizos Lefnim B'Yisrael Ala Geulav Ala Tmur L'Kayim Kol Davar Shalaf Ishna Alov V'Nasan L'Re'eu Vizos HaTuhuda B'Yisrael. So like sort of quotation marks, the Pasuk sort of says that the minhag back then was that they were to take off their shoe, not the chalitza, but they would take off their shoe as a kinyan to show that that this is what's going to happen. So he takes off the shoe and he says, Boaz, go ahead, you can buy it. So Boaz goes ahead and does exactly what he said he was going to do. You are Aiden to what's going on, right? Chazal also learned the concept of possibly birchos hanesuim, and the fact that there needs to be 10 people by a wedding from these psukim. Vayomer kol ha'am asher b'shar v'azkinim edim yitein Adonai sa'isha habal b'secha kirachel ukelea. Right, they bless him that Rus should be like Rachel and Leah asher banu shteim es beis Yisrael v'asachayel be'efrasa ukrush shem b'beis lechem. Just like Rachel and Leah came from a house of seemingly someone, a big Rasha, and they go on to build Am Yisrael. So, Kibyachol, you're going to also have this Brucha Rus, that you came from a place that doesn't seem like the most kosher place, right? Ammon, Moav, but you're going to build Am Yisrael, and there's going to be a future from you. V'ibeischa kibeis peretz asher yaldat tamar liyudat, right? The Tanakh already makes this connection, that you're going to have a connection, right, to Tamar and Yehuda, min azir asher yitain Adonai lecha min ha'nehara hazos. Ve'ikach Boaz es Rus, v'tihi lo le'isha, v'yavo alav yitain Adonai la ha'rayon v'tilad ben. So she has this child. Just a side point, and then we'll finish up, is that Chazal say that Boaz, the night after they have relations, passes away. He passes away, and Chazal understand that He did his part. He did exactly what Hashem wanted him to do, and he was ready to move on to the next world. So this entire narrative, right, as we're starting to see, is all about chesed. Every step of the way there has been chesed, right? Every single step from Naomi and Rus and even Orpah, everyone has been involved in this chesed. Right, he should continue giving you nachas. Yeletu Asher Hi Tovalach Mishiva Banim. Right. Sorry. Do you guys hear me? Oh, sorry about that. No, my headphones died. So let's just finish up over here. Vatikach Naomi es hayeled vatishiseu bechayka vatiyala lo omenas vatikrena lo shashchino shem leimor yulad ben leNaomi vatikrena shmo Oved hu avi Yishai avi David. So obviously the Megillah ends off by giving the yichus of from Rus all the way and even goes back to Peretz, which is one of the sons of Yehuda. Ve'elo toldos Peretz. Peretz holid es Chetzron, Chetzron holid es Ram, V'Ram holid es Aminadav, Aminadav holid es Nachshon, V'Nachshon holid es Samla, Salmon holid es Boaz, Boaz holid es Oved, V'Oved holid es Yishai, V'Yishai holid es David. And with this, we finish the Megillah, but I think that just to end off Mamish with, because I know we're over our time limit. One of the three concepts that we spoke about was the Geirus and the Matan Torah and the Ktzir Seorim. Why we read this Megillah now, and we said that we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean that the Torah is a Torah which is Kulo Chesed, and what does it mean that Rus is a story of Kulo Chesed? So the Levush actually takes all of those reasons and he puts them together, and he says, when speaking about Shavuos in the Torah, the parsha that follows Shavuos, right, in the Parshas Hamoadim, which parsha follows that? Is the parsha of Matnos Aniyim, is the parsha of Leket and Shechecha. Because the Torah really looks out for the Aniyim in such a strong way, and it's so integral to who we are. And says the Levush, that's exactly why we're reading about this. We're reading about it to show where David HaMelech comes from, the chesed that he came from, the gevura that he came from. There's so many lessons that we've learned, really, and you can go in so many different directions with this Megillah. And I hope that it was helpful, just trying to get a simple understanding of the Megillah, trying to build a few different ideas, and hopefully this will help us going forward, and we should be zocha to mamish to a beautiful, beautiful yontif.